Part 3. The Resulting Immediate Transformation of the Human Race. Note, Part 3 is a condensation of Chapter 9 of Freedom. You can watch videos of Jeremy explaining and describing this fabulous transformation at www.humancondition.com/transformation-videos. So, how is this fully accountable, true explanation of the human condition able to immediately transform your and everyone else's life? How does the arrival of the summer of self-understanding make it the time for a brand new beat and dancing in the street? How does the arrival of the sun on freedom's shore that we have been waiting for to explain the human condition and tell me, us, what went wrong, bring about the first flash of Eden? Essentially, how does this explanation take us all back home again to our species' original Edenic state of togetherness and happiness? Only this time, with the ability to understand that state, or, as T.S. Eliot wrote, know the place for the first time. The answer is a natural and logical consequence of our ability to finally be able to explain and understand the whole journey humanity has been on, and our situation now that understanding of the human condition has been found. To summarize, it was through the process of nurturing that our distant primate ancestors were able to develop a completely cooperative and loving existence, like the bonobos are in the process of developing today. We then became conscious, at which point a battle for the management of our lives began between our self-adjusting, conscious mind and our already established instinctive orientations. Unable to explain and understand why we had to challenge our instincts, we then became psychologically retaliatory, defensive, and insecure, upset sufferers of the angry, egocentric, and alienated human condition. But now, after 2 million years of searching, we have finally found the explanation and understanding for why we had to challenge our instincts, which ends the need for humans to be retaliatory, defensive, and insecure. The sunlight of understanding brings an end to our psychologically upset, angry, egocentric, and alienated existence. The battle to establish our goodness and worth is over, which means we can finally put the sword down. The game is won, so we can all head for the showers, or however else we like to describe our own and our species' emancipation. A horrifically upset and stressful way of living ends, and a new life free of all that upset begins. Humans can finally return from a tormented, psychotic existence to health and happiness. The healing, however, of our species' upset, psychotic state, and the complete return to health and happiness for the human race that this breakthrough makes possible will, as has already been mentioned, take a number of generations. This is because psychoses usually take years to heal with understanding. So it follows that in the case of the largest psychosis of all, of the human condition, that healing process will naturally be a generational process. The big question that remains then is, how is this arrival of understanding of the human condition able to immediately transform your and every other human's life? How do you immediately transform your life from an insecure, psychologically embattled, upset state where you were deriving reinforcement for your sense of goodness and worth by winning as much power, fame, fortune and glory as you could, or by taking up support of some pseudo-idealistic cause like religion or socialism or environmentalism or feminism or political correctism or postmodernism or multiculturalism or anti-capitalism? To address this, I need to really drive home the fundamental situation you and every other human is now in. The battle for every human to prove his or her worth is over. In fact, to continue fighting to prove we are good and not bad when our fundamental goodness has been established is not only obviously pointless, but also unnecessarily destructive of ourselves, everyone around us, and of our world. That way of living is completely obsoleted, finished with. But when you are already resigned to living in denial of the human condition and have spent your entire adult life trying to sustain your sense of worth by seeking power, fame, fortune, and glory, or by supporting upset-relieving pseudo-idealistic causes, can that way of living suddenly be abandoned? Can humans give up a highly habituated existence from living competitively and selfishly to living cooperatively and lovingly? Or, in the case of supporters of pseudo-idealism, change from masquerading as an idealist to living honestly with the truth of their corrupted condition? The answer is a resounding yes. Humans can instantly change from living one way to living a completely different way. And for evidence that you and every other human can make such a change, we need only to look at what occurs in religious conversions. Although, as will be made very clear, the change this explanation makes possible is very different to a religious conversion. For example, in the case of a conversion to Christianity, when you drive past a Christian church and see one of the signs they place out in front with "Jesus is the answer," or "Be born again through Christ," or "Christ is our Savior," or "Give your life to Christ and be redeemed," we're all well aware that what's on offer is the option for people to give up their personal struggle with the human condition and take up a life of relieving deferment to Christ. While we may not have experienced a religious conversion ourselves, most of us will know someone who has. For example, The Simpsons cartoon series, a show that is immensely popular because it incisively reflects life's realities, features a character, Ned Flanders, a Christian who has transcended his human condition-afflicted, upset existence and been born again, as the transformation is revealingly termed, to living cooperatively and lovingly again by deferring to and living through the relatively innocent and upset-free soundness of Christ. Ned's neighbour, Homer Simpson, on the other hand, is still living out a human condition embattled, upset life to the full, drinking and brawling and crashing about in hapless efforts to validate himself. In one episode, for example, Ned lends Homer his lawnmower, which Homer ends up wrecking without remorse. But rather than getting angry or defensive, Ned simply accepts Homer's behaviour. Ned is a goody-goody Christian, while Homer is a prime example of an upset human, living out the battle of the human condition to the full. He is massively angry, egocentric, and alienated. So we humans do have the ability, if we so choose, to transcend our struggling to maintain our sense of self-worth, human condition-stricken existence, and live through the support of a set of ideal values and practice more loving behaviour than our upset self wants to practice. To use the Adam stork analogy, Adam could always fly back on course, give up his upsetting pursuit of knowledge, and simply obey his instinctive orientations, which, for us humans, is to be cooperative and loving, the relatively innocent, uncorrupted, and upset-free way of living that is embodied in the lives of the great prophets around whom religions are founded. Humans can immediately abandon a must-win, competitive, selfish, and aggressive power, fame, fortune, and glory-seeking way of living, and instead live in a way that is supportive of and consistent with a cooperative, selfless, and loving way of living. However, what needs to be explained and emphasized straight away is that while the transcendence of your psychologically embattled, upset self that is involved in a new human condition resolved, upset behavior obsoleted, cooperative, selfless, and loving conversion also occurs in a religious conversion in every other respect, it is very different. Firstly, and most significantly, this human condition resolved, upset behavior obsoleted new way of living is not a fundamentally irresponsible and weak abandonment of the human race's battle to find understanding, as was the case when deferring to the sound life of a prophet in religion, or, for that matter, to taking up support of any other form of pseudo-idealism, such as socialism or environmentalism or feminism or political correctism or postmodernism or multiculturalism or anti-capitalism or globalism. No, in stark contrast to these ways of coping with the human condition, this human condition resolved, upset behaviour obsoleted, new way of living is a completely responsible and entirely strong way of living. As has already been explained, the great problem with obeying our species' instinctive orientation to behave cooperatively and lovingly, to flying back on course in the Adam Stork analogy, is that up until now it meant you had personally given up participating in humanity's corrupting but heroic search for knowledge, ultimately for self-knowledge, the understanding of the human condition that alone could free us from that condition. While it was necessary for people to abandon the corrupting search for knowledge when their experiences from and or participation in that great battle had resulted in them having become too corrupt and destructive in terms of persevering towards our species' ultimate goal, it was fundamentally an irresponsible act of weakness, as the philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche recognized. There have always been many sickly people who have a raging hate for the enlightened man and for that youngest of virtues, which is called honesty. You are not yet free. You still search for freedom. Your search has fatigued you. But by my love and hope, I entreat you, do not reject the hero in your soul. Keep holy your highest hope. And there comes a time in a culture's history when it becomes so pathologically soft that it takes the side of its worst enemy, takes up support of forms of give up the battle, fly back on course, make you feel good, pseudo-idealism, and calls it progress. However, now that our highest hope of finding the enlightening understanding of the human condition has been realized, it is no longer an act of weakness to abandon the battle. In fact, it's now not only an act of strength, it is the only responsible strategy for a human to adopt. Everyone should abandon the battle of the human condition because it is now won and over. There is no reason at all now not to give up the old must-prove-your-worth, power, fame, fortune and glory way of living and participate in this completely responsible and non-pseudo-idealistic new way of living that solves all our and the world's problems. If we look at the Ned Flanders and Homer Simpson situation again, as a born-again Christian, Ned is typically portrayed as having a self-satisfied, I occupy the moral high ground attitude over the still human condition embroiled Homer Simpson. Ned's smug posturing drives Homer crazy with frustration because Homer intuitively knows Ned is deluding himself in thinking his Christianity gives him the moral high ground, that he is the more together, sound, better person, and is on the right track. But without understanding of the human condition, Homer couldn't explain why Ned is so extremely deluded and dishonest in his view of himself. Homer couldn't explain and thus reveal the truth that real idealism and the only truly on-track moral high ground lay with continuing the upsetting battle to find knowledge, and that Ned had become so upset, so unsound, that he had to abandon that all-important battle and leave it to others to continue to fight, including Homer. Worse, in abandoning the battle and, for example, deludedly maintaining that doing so was the solution to the world's problems, Ned has effectively sided against those still trying to win the battle, adding substantially to the opposition they had to overcome. If Homer could have explained the situation, he would have said to Ned, "Listen, Ned, you love Christ and he loves you, and you're a goody-goody, and I'm one upset, corrupted, dysfunctional dude. But Ned, I'm still out there participating in humanity's heroic battle to find knowledge. So I'm a bold and brave legend, and you're a worn-out quitter." I should explain that while religion is a form of pseudo-idealism because in adopting it, you're fundamentally abandoning the upsetting battle to find understanding, Of all the different forms of pseudo-idealism, religions have, by far, been the least destructively dishonest and deluded because of the honesty of the prophet's words about the corrupted state of the human condition. In fact, as the human race has become extremely upset, religions have been losing favour in the West because that honesty and the emphasis on guilt that results from it has become too unbearably confronting and condemning. The great value of religion has become its liability. Chapters 8.16h to 8.16q of Freedom and the booklet Death by Dogma document how, as upset has increased, there has been a progression to ever more truth-stripped and guilt-stripped forms of pseudo-idealism that humans have found to adopt, to simplistic, non-thinking, fundamentalist expressions of religion, to a sequence of non-religious pseudo-idealistic causes, in particular from socialism to the New Age movement, to the feminist movement, to the environment movement, to the politically correct movement, and then to the completely truth-stripped, postmodern, deconstructionist movement. It follows that the amount of dishonesty and delusion in these forms of pseudo-idealism has been infinitely greater than in true religion, and thus infinitely more compromising of and offensive to those like Homer who have been trying to maintain the freedom from idealism needed to continue humanity's heroic search for knowledge. The great danger of the delusion and dishonesty of pseudo-idealism becoming so popular that it ends human freedom and our search for knowledge was summarized by George Orwell in his prophetic book 1984, when he wrote, "If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face, the human mind, forever." The perfect example of this is the rise of and acceptance of completely dishonest biology, which, in a terrible death spiral, is then used to justify even more dangerously oppressive left-wing dogma. What we face is the pseudo-idealistic death of the human race. I explain much more about the comparative integrity and critically important, indeed fabulous, contribution religion has made to the human journey in chapters 8.15 and 8.16 of Freedom. So the situation now, with the new human condition resolved, upset, obsoleted, new way of living, is that it is not an act of irresponsibility or weakness to abandon the battle, because that great battle has been won. Understanding of the human condition has been found. So to continue that now obsoleted battle would be illogical and thus irresponsible and thus the weak thing to do. If we imagine then that Ned has taken up the human condition resolved, upset, obsoleted, transformed new way of living, Homer would have no grounds to criticize him. In this scenario, the tables are turned. Ned would be in the position to censure Homer. We are rational creatures, and so when all the logic points to there being only one response we can make, namely the human condition resolved, upset, obsoleted, transform new way of living, then that is the response the human race has to take. No revolution dogmatically and even physically imposed upon us by others, as has pretty much been the case with revolutions in the past. Just a peaceful revolution through the power of logic, knowledge, understanding. The great revolution of the mind that W.B. Yeats and Sir Bob yearn for. Of course, while it is the power of the logic, the rationale that makes the new transformed way of living irresistible, the adoption of this way of living is also made irresistible by the absolutely wonderful transforming effect it has on people. Indeed, before long, those still living in the old, embattled, have to prove your worth, or deluded, do good to feel good, pseudo-idealistic ways of living, will feel like they have been caught wearing last year's fashions. There is such a stark difference between the free, authentic, expansive, enthralled with life, transformed existence and the old embattled existence, where your mind is narrowly focused and preoccupied, working all the angles every second of every day, defensively seeking validation and reinforcement, that those living in the old ways will seem like a different species. Compared to the new expansive, all-exciting, free, transformed state, those still stuck in the old embattled paradigm will be like sad, forgotten ghosts trapped in an obsoleted state. When the scientist philosopher Pierre Teilhard de Chardin wrote, "The truth has to only appear once for it to be impossible for anything ever to prevent it from spreading universally and setting everything ablaze," he was anticipating the arrival of the all-transforming and all-exciting understanding of the human condition. I want you to go outside and look up towards the horizon, because I kid you not, what you're soon going to see appear from one end of that horizon to the other is an army in its millions coming to do battle with human suffering, and its weapon will be understanding. With the world's preoccupation with finding self-understanding now resolved, and all the associated need for self-aggrandizement satiated, our lives and the world's resources will be freed to finally look after each other and our world. So while you might have seen some wonderful things in your life, like fields of flowers or gorgeous sunrises or music festivals of people dancing, you won't have seen anything even remotely as incredible, wonderful and joyous as the human race coming home together to peace and happiness. And it has to be remembered that behaving cooperatively and lovingly is our original natural way of behaving. So when we all realise it is now the only legitimate and responsible way to behave, then that way of behaving will come thundering through. Take the boot of repression off the throat of our soul, and it will breathe freely once more. Again, when that truth-talking prophet of our time, Bono, wrote about and sang of a time when we would be able to feel sunlight of liberating understanding, "On my face, see that dust cloud of all our upset behaviour disappear without a trace," a time when we will be able to take shelter from the poison rain high on a desert plain in a wonderful, egoless new world where the streets have no name, a place where there will be no toil or sorrow, no time of pain, and everyone will sing, "I've conquered my past, the future is here at last. I stand at the entrance to a new world I can see. The ruins to the right of me will soon have lost sight of me." He was anticipating the arrival, at last, of the human condition free world. The second fundamental difference between this new transform way of living and religion is that while religions were about supporting the embodiment of the ideals in the form of the prophets around which they were founded, this new way of living is about supporting the understanding of the ideals and why we fully conscious humans have historically not been able to live by them. This is the end of dogma, faith and belief, and the beginning of understanding and knowing. In his acclaimed 1969 BBC television documentary series Civilization, the eminent historian Kenneth Clark mentioned that people who hold forth about the modern world often say that what we need is a new religion. It may be true, but it isn't easy to establish. Saying that what we need is a new religion is really an acknowledgement of the fundamental need, if we are to truly solve the world's problems, for humans to change from living competitively, aggressively and selfishly to living cooperatively, lovingly and selflessly. And saying, "but it isn't easy to establish a new religion," is really, deep down, a recognition that what is needed for this great change to occur is for understanding of the human condition to be found, because while it wasn't found, the upsetting battle to find it had to continue. Humans have always intuitively known they had to suffer living an upset, corrupted existence until we found self-understanding. We have intuitively been aware that, as it says in The Man of La Mancha, we had to march into hell for a heavenly cause. When it was reported that the Tibetan Buddhist leader, the Dalai Lama, believes secular ethics, not religion, is best placed to assist the moral crisis facing the world's people, because secular ethics respected all traditional faiths as well as non-believers, and quoted the Dalai Lama saying that some people, some my friends, believe moral ethics must be based on religious faith, but no matter how wonderful a religion, it will never be universal. The crisis is universal. Now, the remedy must also be universal. The Dalai Lama was also, at base, recognizing the need for the reconciling understanding of the human condition to arrive, because only that could supply the universally acceptable remedy of secular ethics he was acknowledging the world needs. When John Lennon, who I consider to be another truth-saying prophet of our time, like Bob Dylan, Bono and Sir Bob Geldof, anticipated in his 1971 song Imagine the arrival of a time when the human condition is resolved and the world will be as one, he too was envisioning a world free of the condemning differentiation of good and evil, a time when there would be no heaven above us and no hell below us, a world liberated from the insecurity of the human condition and thus the need for religion, where, as he sang, there will be nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too, all the people living life in peace, no need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man, all the people sharing all the world. This second differentiation to religion leads directly to the third immense difference between this new transformed way of living and a religion, which is that unlike religion, there is no involvement or emphasis on guilt, because guilt and the whole notion of good and evil has been eliminated forever with the reconciling understanding of the human condition. And it raises the fourth fundamental difference about this new transformed way of living, which is that there is no deity involved, no emphasis on God, or deference to any one personality. In fact, there is no worship of any kind. The fifth difference this new transformed way of living has to religion also results from it being based on knowledge, not faith or dogma, which is that dogma can't heal upset, only understanding can do that. Ultimately, de-braining ourselves wasn't going to work. We needed brain food, not brain anesthetic. We needed confusion-relieving understanding. We needed answers. Yes, in complete contrast to religion, the new transformed way of living is concerned with what happens after the liberating understanding of the human condition is found, which is the advancement of the human race from the bewildered, insecure, human condition-stricken state of mind to an existence free of that deadening pain in the brain. In fact, it is impossible to express just how redeeming, empowering, and thus rehabilitating it is for the human race to now have a bedrock of first principle scientific knowledge that allows us to understand our fundamental goodness. For humans, knowledge is the ultimate form of power. And this knowledge we now have has reached right to the bottom of the well of who we are, and from there brought an end to the underlying insecurity, confusion, frustration, worry, doubt, shame, guilt, anxiety and angst that has plagued human life. It has, in short, opened up a whole new world free of the human condition. Yes, the human condition understood, upset, obsoleted, new, transformed way of living, and the psychological healing of the human race that it allows to occur over a few generations completely changes the human race from a state of troubled upset to a state of secure soundness. In fact, it metamorphoses, it matures, the whole human race from insecure adolescence to secure adulthood. The sixth, very important difference between the new transformed way of living and religion applies both to the power, fame, fortune, and glory obsoleted way of validating ourselves, and to religion and the various other pseudo-idealistic ways of relieving ourselves of our upset. This key difference is that the new transform way of living is virtually free of the human condition avoiding dishonesty and delusion involved in those ways of living. With our upset lives now defended, we not only don't have to prove our worth, we don't have to deny any truths about our immensely corrupted condition. And, as was outlined in the bullet points at the end of part two, there have been a great many truths that resigned humans have been living in denial of. Honesty comes to earth now, and what a relief that is going to be for the whole human race. For example, as explained in part one, science is supposed to be our vehicle for the pursuit of knowledge, but it is now so saturated with lies that it has become a citadel in ruins, as Koestler described it. As I emphasized at the end of part two, when the blinds are finally drawn on the human condition, the light inevitably reveals a universe of previously denied truths, a litany of heresies. All the lies and delusions we humans have been using to protect ourselves from exposure of our corrupted condition, while we couldn't truthfully explain that condition, are suddenly revealed. The truth reveals the lies as it must. In fact, as I have mentioned there, the arrival of understanding of the human condition brings about Honesty Day, or Truth Day, or Exposure Day, or Transparency Day, or Revelation Day, or the so-called Judgment Day that is referred to many times in the Bible. While, as I stressed, this all-exposing Judgment Day is a time of compassionate understanding, not condemnation, it naturally does come as a great shock to have the extent of our own and our species now extremely psychologically upset, angry, egocentric and alienated condition suddenly revealed. This paradox of being wonderfully liberated, but at the same time suddenly frighteningly exposed, was recognized by the prophet Isaiah when he said that the liberation that gives you relief from suffering and turmoil and cruel bondage will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. People will be brought out of Plato's dark cave of denial, where they have been hiding and refusing to hear the truth about their corrupted condition. Your nakedness will be exposed and your shame uncovered on the day of reckoning. In the Quran, the Prophet Muhammad also referred to the day of reckoning and the last judgment, similarly stating that on that day the terror shall come to pass and heaven shall be split. On that day you shall be exposed, not one secret of yours concealed. Yes, as I mentioned at the end of part one, in his poem The Second Coming, W.B. Yeats referred to humans' great fear of the arrival of the revelation, Judgment Day, all-exposing, pitiless as the sun, rough, hurtful beast of the truth about their massively corrupted condition. Humans typically need time to adjust to change, and the arrival of understanding of our corrupted condition is such an immensely significant and sudden event that our ability to adjust to it can't but be overwhelmed. In his famous 1970 book, Future Shock, Alvin Toffler was remarkably prescient in his anticipation of this time when understanding the human condition would emerge and humans would suddenly be faced with, as he put it, the shattering stress and disorientation that we induce in individuals by subjecting them to too much change in too short a time. George Bernard Shaw was another who succinctly described this problem of the sudden change that the arrival of a great insight brings and the inevitable difficulty and natural resistance people have to making such a significant and sudden change when, as I mentioned in part two, he said that all great truths begin as blasphemies. And indeed, there's no greater and more sudden a change than when the redeeming and denial-destroying understanding of the human condition arrives. The question this all raises is, how are we to manage the arrival of the liberating but at the same time all-exposing day of judgment, the day of reckoning, when our nakedness will be exposed and not one secret of ours will be concealed? The simple answer is that we don't try to confront all the truth about our corrupted condition. Once we have investigated these understandings sufficiently to know that they have explained the human condition, we don't actually need to know any more than that to take up a life where we direct all our thoughts and energies into supporting these understandings and to the repair of the world that they finally make possible. We don't need to know the full extent of the truth that this information reveals about the upset state of humanity, and we particularly don't need to know how it explains and reveals everything about our own human condition afflicted life. What did Bono say we would do when we have conquered the past and the future is here at last? He said, "The ruins to the right of me will soon have lost sight of me." Yes, we don't dwell on the ruins of our corrupted condition. We get the truth up and we move on. Furthermore, if you do become overly confronted by what is being presented, your resigned self's natural reaction could be to try to attack and deny it in order to protect yourself, to in effect reinstate all the denials, which means advocating humanity's retreat back into Plato's dark cave of denial that the human race has been desperately trying to find its way out of for 2 million years. The fact is, if you do become overly confronted, you could become defensive, angry, and retaliatory towards the information, and the consequence of such a response could be to, in effect, sabotage the efforts of every human who has ever lived to bring the human race to this dreamed-of moment of its liberation. In short, the effect of overly studying this information, studying it beyond your degree of soundness or security of self can cope with, can be both dangerous to you and dangerous to the human race. And no one should want nor risk either of those outcomes. Since these understandings of the human condition can be destabilizing for people with a history of psychological instability or serious mental health issues, we strongly encourage such people to seek the ongoing support and assistance of professional counselors for their particular condition. At this early stage of its development, the World Transformation Movement does not have the resources to provide such support and assistance. It makes sense that while the human race heals from its psychosis, a transition that will require a few generations, the more insecure should avoid overly confronting and studying the human condition and entrust that responsibility to those who are more sound. Of course, the effect of this sensible arrangement will be, as it now needs to be, that the more sound, least upset, more soul-connected, least alienated, will be the ones who lead the human race back home to health and happiness. In the past, our instinctive self or soul has been repressed because of its unjust condemnation of our intellect's search for knowledge. But at last, that devastating state of soul separation or alienation or denial is now over. So instead of defensively and evasively emphasizing the intelligent and the intellectual, the emphasis changes to the soulful and instinctual, from IQ to SQ. Yes, just as we encourage and let our soul lead in ourselves now, instead of resigning ourselves to having to repress it, we also let it lead in our society. This healthy change of emphasis was perfectly anticipated by Christ when he spoke of a time when the meek will inherit the earth, and many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first, and the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and by Bob Dylan in his 1964 song, "The Times There Are Changin'," "The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changing." Remember, this emphasis on soul now is not a new form of elitism, because the whole idea of good and bad, superior and inferior, has been eliminated with understanding that upset is a heroic, worthy, and good state. It is true that by not fully confronting the extent of the upset within yourself and avoiding looking too deeply into all the truth about the human condition, you are practicing some denial or dishonesty. But by living in support of the compassionate full truth about the upset state of the human condition, you are, in the greater scheme of things, ensuring the truth is being fully established and denial fully eliminated. All that really matters now is that this new paradigm of the reconciling and redeeming understanding of the human condition is appreciated and disseminated to the world's population, because it alone can heal the human race and save the world. All everyone should do now is support the truth about the human condition, and it will achieve everything everyone has ever dreamt of. If we look after this information, it, in turn, will look after each of us and the world. That is the mantra of the new world that understanding of the human condition brings about. As I mentioned at the end of part two, when I was talking about the judgment day shock that accompanies the arrival of the truth about the human condition, it is the enormous relief and joy of being able to free ourselves from the human condition that helps us most of all to deal with the sudden arrival of understanding of the human condition. As I said, the procrastinating stage that is characterized by the psychological wrestling match of I don't want to face the truth, I'm in deep shock, this is too big an upheaval and change to my life, it's all an unbearable blasphemy, won't last long once the wonderfully liberating potential of these understandings catches on. So while the psychological upset within humans has not been eliminated, because again, that is a process that will take a few generations, in this new transformed way of living or transformed life force state, there is very little dishonesty, no irresponsibility, no weakness, no delusion, no deity, no worship, no focus on a personality, no faith, no dogma, and no guilt. What we have now is so relieving and so exciting that when this way of living catches on, it will sweep the world. I should say that while the focus for humanity absolutely does now need to be on the adoption of the transformed life force state, some people will want to use the redeeming understanding we now have of the human condition to begin to heal their psychosis, at least any extreme crippling psychosis. Freedom Essays 63 and 64 on the WTM's homepage describe the psychological therapy that is now possible. In summary, now that we understand the very good reason why humans had to set out in search of knowledge and defy our original ideal behavior insisting instinctive self or soul, all the upset, anger, egocentricity, and alienation that unavoidably resulted from being unjustly criticized by our instincts is now rendered obsolete, unnecessary, and meaningless. No longer do we have to retaliate against our instincts' unjust criticism of our search for knowledge, and no longer do we have to retaliate against criticism of our subsequent upset or corrupted state, because our upset or corrupted state has been defended with truthful, compassionate understanding at the most profound level. And no longer do we have to try to prove our worth, because our worth has been established at the most fundamental level. And no longer do we have to deny any confronting truths about our immensely upset or corrupted condition, because no longer are there any truths about our upset or corrupted state that condemn us. Our upset lives are now explained and defended, which means we no longer have to be preoccupied compensating for that upset by finding forms of self-aggrandizement, by seeking self-distraction, or by chasing relief through materialistic forms of compensation for all the hurt we experience growing up in an immensely human-conditioned, afflicted world. And nor do we have to delude ourselves that we are an upset-free, ideally behaved person by taking up support of a pseudo-idealistic cause. In other words, We no longer need to artificially make ourselves feel good about ourselves, because our goodness has now been established at the deepest, most profound, real level. And, most wonderfully, what happens when we humans give up our old ways of coping with the human condition and take up the new way of living that understanding the human condition has made possible is we naturally transition to a genuinely and authentically cooperative and selflessly behaved person, a truly integrative part of humanity. Even though we are not yet free of the psychologically upset state of our own personal human condition, we can immediately have a change of attitude and decide not to live out that upset state that remains within us. The overall effect in our lives is that despite our retention of the upset state of the human condition, we are effectively free from its hold and its influence, which is an absolutely fabulous transformation to have made in an instant, in one simple decision. You and every other human can, as it were, put the issue of all our upset or corruptions in a suitcase, attach a label to it saying, "Everything in here is now explained and defended," and simply leave that suitcase behind at the entrance to what we in the World Transformation Movement call the Sunshine Highway, and set out unencumbered by all those upset behaviors into a new world that is effectively free of the human condition. You can join the Sunshine Army on the Sunshine Highway to the world in sunshine. All the egocentric, embattled posturing to get a win out of life, all the strategizing every minute of every day to try and find a way to compensate for feeling inadequate or imperfect or bad about ourselves, can suddenly end. The human race can leave Plato's dark cave, where it has been hiding, to escape the glare of the truth about its seemingly imperfect condition. And when we simply leave our whole must prove and artificially maintain our sense of worth, attack and deny any criticism way of living behind as obsolete, all our thoughts and energies can finally be redirected into supporting and disseminating these human race-saving understandings, and to repairing the world from all the damage our species' upset behavior has caused. Because with the human condition solved, all the upset that is causing the destruction of the planet can now end, which means it is at last possible to properly and permanently repair our environment. Excitement and meaning, based on liberating, truthful, honest understanding of ourselves and our world, is what we have to sustain ourselves now. The immense excitement and relief of being effectively free of the human condition, the joy and happiness of being liberated from the burden of our insecurities, self-preoccupations, and devious strategizing, the awesome meaning and power of finally being genuinely aligned with the truth and actually participating in the magic, true world, the wonderful empathy and equality of goodness, and fellowship that understanding of the human condition now allows us to feel for our fellow humans, the freedom now to effectively focus on repairing the world, and above all, the radiant aliveness from the optimism that comes with knowing our species' march through hell has finally ended, and that a human condition-free new world is coming, can now transform every human and thus the world. From being a human condition oppressed and depressed, alienated person, you and all other humans can now be transformed into redeemed, liberated from the human condition, exhilarated, ecstatic, enthralled with existence, empowered, world-transforming life forces. This exhilarated, ecstatic, enthralled with existence aspect is the life in life force, while the empowered, world-transforming aspect is the force in life force. So life force covers both the personal benefit and the benefit to the world in one word. From being human condition stricken, Plato's dark cave dwelling, effectively dead humans, we become transformed life forces, or simply life forces. That is the difference the arrival of understanding of the human condition makes to the human race. To confirm all that has been said, I recommend you watch some short videos in which World Transformation Movement members describe their own transformation to a fabulous life in the new human condition understood world at www.humancondition.com/affirmations. Again, Chapter 9 of Freedom contains the full description of how understanding of the human condition is able to immediately transform your life and the lives of all humans. Finally, as mentioned in the notes to the reader, while copies of Transform Your Life and Save the World and Freedom can be purchased from bookshops, including Amazon, what they are presenting is so important they are and will always remain freely available to read, print, or share at our website, www.humancondition.com. So please introduce others to this understanding of the human condition by telling them they can immediately, easily, and for no charge, read this short booklet, because the explanation it contains is the only thing that can save the human race from unthinkably horrific and appalling terminal levels of writhing and deadening alienation, soul separation, and psychosis. Appendix. An appendix is included at the end of Transform Your Life, titled Summary of Our Species' Heroic Journey from Ignorance to Enlightenment. Taken from Chapter 8 of Freedom, it includes a sequence of fossil skulls of our ancestors, as well as a series of drawings Jeremy created showing the stages that he describes the human race as progressing through. Here ends Transform Your Life and Save the World. You've been listening to Transform Your Life and Save the World, written by Jeremy Griffith, read by Tim McCartney Snape. Transform Your Life was first published in 2016 by WTM Publishing and Communications, and this audiobook is of the slightly revised second edition, published in 2019 and amended in 2021. This book is protected by Australian copyright laws and international copyright treaty provisions. All rights reserved. Copyright 2016 to 2019, FedMex Proprietary Limited. All inquiries should be made to the World Transformation Movement at www.humancondition.com. I'm Tim McCartney Snape. Thanks for listening.